Frisco, Dallas, Fort Worth. Live from the KATH 910 AM studios in Las Colinas and broadcasting across North Texas on the Guadalupe Radio Network, this is the Good News Show.
And good afternoon. Welcome to the Good News Show on this May 12th, 2025, the eve of one of my favorite feast days of the entire year, Our Lady of Fatima. I love Our Lady of Fatima. I love the feast day. Also happens to be the birthday of our a miracle child son who was born on her feast day after we did a novena 9 months earlier praying for a child. And lo and behold, Our Lady blessed us. So I love Our Lady of Fatima, as you probably know through Charathons. I talk about her quite a bit. And what an exciting time in the church right now. These last few days since Thursday, really the last week or so with the conclave and the election of Pope Leo the 14th on Thursday, how exciting that is. So I just want to start off, and we're going to be talking to all of our guests about this as a little bit as well, about where we were, how we got the news. I want to bring Joe Loney in. Sissel is on vacation this week, so she's not here, but Joe Loney.
Yes, she gets I get to do all her exciting things this week.
Yes, you do. Tell us about your thoughts Thursday, how you heard about the white smoke and your reaction to Pope Leo being announced. What did you think?
You know, I never thought I'd get an American pope in my lifetime. I thought it was always going to be a European, maybe an African pope, because of the church, or South American. Obviously, we've had several, or at least one, Pope Francis from there. But I never thought I'd get one. And then honestly, 68, I kept thinking, I'm like, that's a young pope.
Yeah, I know.
It's kind of weird to say as a 28-year-old, but it was like, that's a young pope.
And I was telling people over the weekend, I love how, that's a young guy, and there was one Cardinal Pizzaballa who was 60, and they're like, he's way too young. And as a guy who's 58, I love that somebody who's 60 is too young for the job.
It's the opposite of all the major sports where you're like, oh, I know. 30, he's over, it's done.
I know, isn't that funny? Yeah, I was so excited, and they're speaking in Latin, and you hear this name, Roberto,
I had no idea who it was.
and then I heard, the first thing I heard the EWTN commentator say, he's an American. And I'm thinking, Burke, Supich, I mean, who is it? Dolan. And like, what? This guy, I'd never heard of him. So, thanks for the commentary there, Joe, and welcome everybody to the show. Just want to let you know who are the guests for the show today. In the second half of the program, I am going to be joined on the phone with Dr. Peter Howard. And Dr. Peter Howard contacted me last week and said that he wanted to talk about a pilgrimage that he is doing to Our Lady Guadalupe, the shrine, in August. And he is the president and founder of the Fulton Sheen Institute. And so he's a great devotee of Fulton Sheen. It'd be interesting to see if they kind of get that process of beatification and eventually canonization of Fulton Sheen going again. So he's going to give his reactions to the election of our first American Pope, Pope Leo the 14th, and also talk about his pilgrimage down to Our Lady Guadalupe in August, and a whole lot of other things as well. So a lot to talk about with him. And in the first segment here in a few minutes, I'm going to introduce you to reintroduce you to Father John Beyer, who is a Cistercian priest. He also works very closely with the soon-to-be graduating senior class at Cistercian Prep. I've got three of the graduating seniors in studio with me. We're going to talk about the value of Catholic education, get their thoughts on the new pope, and what's going on at Cistercian. It's just an amazing school, and I said before we started, every time I meet the students from Cistercian, I'm just so terribly impressed, and these guys are just, I can tell, just really amazing guys. One of them is going to be an Aggie next year. Go ahead and whoop if you want, and a couple of them are heading to University of Notre Dame in Indiana, and they've got just a lot to talk about. So before that, let me just mention a couple of other things before we move on to our guest. I was able, Joe, last Thursday, after I got the news, the Diocese of Dallas put out a press release right away saying that Bishop Burns was holding a press conference at 3 o'clock on Thursday to talk about the Pope. And so I went over there, and a lot of press was there. I met a lady from Channel 8 and somebody from Univision, and it was kind of cool to get Pope, Bishop Burns's thoughts on it, and he had never met very few people had ever met him.
I didn't even know he existed. I don't know who, I've never heard the name before. It wasn't one of the five or six names.
Yeah, they're
like, this is one of your next popes. And I was like, okay.
There was a really interesting Pints with Aquinas with Matt Frad. I don't know if you saw this or not, but Matt Frad, who had, one of the very popular podcasters, just happened to be with Dr. Scott Hahn recording an episode.
I did see that. Yeah, I did.
And so he's interviewing Scott Hahn. And all. Of course, a lot of people didn't think that the announcement was going to come on Thursday. So it's business as usual, and they're doing their podcast. And all of a sudden, the word came out, there's white smoke. And then, of course, 30 minutes later.
Keep those cameras rolling.
Yeah. And so they recorded Frad and Dr. Hahn finding out kind of in real time. And even Dr. Hahn had never heard of this guy. I mean, how could somebody, a cardinal of the United States, escape even Dr. Hahn's
just
notice?
If like nobody ever, because I think that's one of the reasons why everyone didn't have anything really to add, because it's like, I don't know anything about him.
I know. Yeah, you have no thoughts, because he was a mystery, but he's not a mystery any longer. And of course, we've had a chance now to meet his brothers. They've been interviewed just nonstop, and it's certainly,
and I think
exciting.
It was really special to see the amount of non-Catholics that cared about the Pope.
Oh, election. Yeah.
And I don't remember that when Pope Francis was elected. I don't remember the amount of people that everyone had an opinion about it. Everyone was putting out there, and like non-Catholics, like, oh, I hope it's this guy. And they're like, I've never seen them care. I always heard like, oh, I don't care about the Pope. It's a relic of the ancient days. But
Yeah. This is definitely different times. Just a couple of notes. I'm going to be on Morning Joy tomorrow talking about St. Augustine, because Pope Leo XIV is not just an Augustinian priest, but he was the head of the Augustinian order for many years. And so what is that Augustinian charism, and how might that influence his papacy? That's going to be about 6:40 tomorrow morning, me talking about that. And then also, back to the Father this Friday. We're going to continue our study on St. Thomas Aquinas on the Eucharist, a deep dive into what St. Thomas Aquinas taught about the Eucharist. So let me move into our first segment here. And as I mentioned, we are going to be talking about Cistercian prep. And I have, as I mentioned, in studio with me, Father John Beyer, who is the vocations director at Cistercian Prep, and also, well, there's also Cistercian Abbey there. And he is the Form 8 Senior Form Master, and have three of the soon to be graduating seniors with me. Cash Leckler, who is headed to Texas A&M. He's a three-sport athlete. He's got two younger brothers who are in sixth and soon to be fifth grade next year. His mom was a Cistercian cheerleader, which is interesting. I didn't even know Cistercian had cheerleaders. Also, Carter Kenny and George Saliga are both joining me as well. They are members, among other things, of the Miracle Melodies, a student-led praise and worship group supporting students with Down syndrome. And they're also deeply engaged in service to their faith. George's brother, James, has Down syndrome. And another fun fact is George's father has been a celebrated and very popular teacher at Cistercian for almost 30 years. And so a lot to talk about. I do want to thank Brandon Mills, Director of Admissions and Communications. He's the one that set all of this up. So anyways, welcome to all of you. I know a couple of you are sharing a mic, so you can move that around. But Father John Beyer, thanks for coming in. No stranger to this studio.
Yeah, always a pleasure to be here.
Yeah. So first off, before we get into Cistercian, your thoughts on the election of Pope Leo XIV, your thoughts, how did you get the news on Thursday?
I got the news by walking to my office and hearing a bunch of fifth and sixth graders shout with jubilation that we have a pope. And that was really fun to see their enthusiasm. And I went to the senior classrooms afterwards, and I saw that on one side they had already pulled up on the computer screen the loggia where the pope was going to come out and address the faithful. So I was very excited just to, habemus papam, and enjoy the moment with my boys, the guys in my form. I've been with them for almost 8 years now, or actually concluding 8 years now, and to share that historic moment with them was a real treat.
Mm-hmm. I think you told me there's 43 graduating seniors. You had the baccalaureate mass this past weekend. Tomorrow's the last day of classes, mm-hmm. and then graduation on this Saturday. Weekend. Mm-hmm. And you having been with this group for this whole time, this must be bittersweet for you. I mean, these guys, yeah, you've really gotten to know them in formation. Can you talk about that relationship?
Yeah, I think it's one of my favorite ideals about a Catholic education, that it's really a community affair. You know, we don't just sit them down and throw some information at them. We recognize that education is all about relationships, and the human person really comes to its maturation through relationships. And so the classroom experience is in large part an occasion for relationship. Of course, there's lots of information and learning, and these guys will tell you that we definitely do try to communicate a lot in a Cistercian classroom, but my role as form master has a lot more, I think, to do with the relational side. And after 8 years of following them, trying my best to be good to them and getting to know them and their families, yeah, it is bittersweet at the end, but I think it's, at least right now, much more sweet, and bitter maybe isn't even the right word, sad sweet, you know, because I'm very happy. I'm very satisfied. Mm-hmm. They make me very proud, and I'm so excited to see them fly off like arrows out of a bow and go all the places they're going and do wonderful things. They're just good young men, yeah. And I'm so proud to send them out.
Does that mean next year you'll be assigned a new group of fifth graders and you'll start the whole process over again? Is that how that works?
Mr. Palmer, that'll probably take a whole nother radio show. but actually, it looks like I'll be sent at least for a short period of time over to Hungary.
Is that right?
Yeah, that explaining that would probably take more time than we have. But
now, were they purposely waiting story. For you to finish that cycle? Is that
all complicated stuff? let's say I only learned about this after spring break that I would be sent over, and it's largely to discern the possibilities of a greater commitment between our house and the Cistercian presence over there in Hungary. Hmm. It's a very exciting story, but I wouldn't want to...
Please come back and talk about that before you go, because many people may not realize the Hungarian roots of the Cistercians, which are so strong. But again, that's a whole different interview.
It's an incredible story of heroism and faith that we should talk about.
Yeah, so thanks again, and I'll come back to Father Beyer again from Cistercian, and I want to bring these wonderful students in on it. And first off, I saw on the website that the Cistercian students, many of them or all of them, I'm not sure how many, gathered in the lunchroom and saw the announcement last Thursday. And I was asking y'all about your comments. And I think, Cash, it was you who... I'm sorry, Carter. Carter, who was just really eloquently talking about the new Holy Father. Can you share some of your thoughts on it?
In retrospect, I'm surprised that Pope Leo has not been more well-known as a bishop, because he's just such an eloquent speaker. And that's really exciting to see after like all the rhetoric that we've studied and preaching that we've gotten at Cistercian. It's been fun to see, especially as he's explained why he chose the name Leo, and seeing his first homily in Italian was very exciting. So it's been a cool experience for all of us, I think.
Yeah. Cash or George, any thoughts on the new Holy Father? Have you had a chance to take any of this in yet? Or what are your initial thoughts?
I think a lot of it is still that initial excitement. Again, on the day of, we were just checking the live stream in the 5-minute periods between classes, and one guy saw the white smoke, and everyone was just like, oh, who is it? Who isn't? And we were like, it's an American. And everyone kind of just went and looked him up a little bit on their own. Like, who is this guy? And this genuine excitement to learn about our Holy Father has been really incredible.
Yeah, I didn't hear anybody predict he would be Pope. And I heard a lot of people, including Bishop Barron, who admitted afterwards. He said, I was wrong. You know, Bishop Barron said, you know, there's not going to be an American Pope. No American's going to be chosen. But I'm thankful that there is. I'm very happy and excited. Let me, and by the way, that was George. I know you can only only hear voices and you can't see who's talking, but I'll try to identify who's speaking. But let me bring each of you in and just ask you a couple of questions. Cash Leckler, these are all graduating seniors at Cistercian. They got their last class day tomorrow. Cash is headed to Texas A&M, three-sport athlete, and mom was a cheerleader, like I said. What are your thoughts as you're literally in your last week, tomorrow's your last day, as far as you look back at your formation all these years as Cistercian and the value of a Catholic education?
I'm just so proud of myself and all of my classmates for making it this long. It's been a long 8-year ride. I moved from San Antonio before I actually came here, and I barely remember anything before Cistercian, so it's sort of been like my whole life just being formed and living with these guys and these teachers and these priests. And now that it's coming to an end, it's crazy. But I know that I'll always be able to come back and have it as like a home, a place to go back to for support.
I'm a Jesuit grad, okay. And Cistercian is such a good school, and it's known for its academics. And but I don't have any personal experience there. But can you speak about what's? And I know you've only been at Cistercian; you haven't been to other high schools. But what's unique about it? There's something about Cistercian that's unique. And can you put your finger on that?
I would say it's two main things, the size and the monks. So there's only 43 guys in my class. We've been together for 8 years. We're so tightly knit. I would not call them my classmates. I would call them my brothers. We do everything together outside of school and in school. And then second, speaking on the monks, they take a vow of stability, and I see them every day. They pour out their heart and soul for us, really. It's their vocation. And I know that even when I leave next week, I'll be able to come back at any point in my life and they'll be there waiting for us.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really awesome.
Yeah. And why did you choose A&M and what do you plan to study there?
I chose A&M because it's all of my family went to A&M. My dad and I'm an Aggie through and through. My dad, my grandma, my great grandfather, everybody. So I've grown up wanting to go there. I'm not really exactly sure what I want to do yet. I'm just gonna figure it out when I get there.
I was in College Station a couple of months ago for totally unrelated to Texas A&M, but I could feel it. I went into like a Cracker Barrel, and I was like, I just feel the school. I mean, it's so palpable. They have so much. Everybody was in maroon, and everybody's dressed like you're dressed with the A&M. It's just like I can feel the spirit of A&M here. It's quite a phenomenon for sure. All right, Cashua, we'll come back hopefully, and any other thoughts that you have, well, Cistercian will come back to you. But let me bring in Carter Kenny. He's the one that spoke a moment ago so eloquently about our new Holy Father. He is headed to the University of Notre Dame, as is George Saliga. And among many other things, involved in Miracle Melodies, a student-led praise and worship group supporting students with Down syndrome. I know that's just one of many, many things, but I'll ask you kind of the same question. Your thoughts of your time at Cistercian now that it's coming to an end, and what are your top reflections?
Yeah, that vow of stability that Cash talked about, I think, really is such a unique aspect of Cistercian. The reason Father John wasn't sent to Hungary earlier, because he's definitely the man for the job, was because they wanted him to finish out those 8 years with us.
Mm-hmm.
And having that resource of the form master specifically, who's been with us that entire time, is, I think, very valuable. I had this reflection, like after the baccalaureate mass, from Brother Joseph Esparza, who's a Holy Cross monk from Notre Dame, and he was talking about how, like, within a community, we really aren't ourselves outside of the community in isolation, and community really is such an important aspect of Cistercian. It's a large reason why I chose Notre Dame, because they clearly value that same community. Mm-hmm. And doing things like Miracle Melodies that all three of us are involved in are ways in which we get to extend that community out to the larger Dallas area. So.
Yeah, now George, has a very personal connection with the Down syndrome, and I'm curious about you, Carter. What motivates you, among all the many things that you could do, to be involved in this group, Miracle Melodies, again, a student-led praise and worship group supporting students with Down syndrome in the Notre Dame School of Dallas. Why'd you get involved in that?
So I for years now have lifeguarded and taught swim lessons just at my rec center. And that's sort of where I began kind of having an experience with teaching children with developmental disabilities, because I would teach them swim lessons. And then that sort of branched off into what we were talking about earlier, which is Rays of Light on Lover's Lane, where parents will send in their kids as guests for the night, and we get to entertain them, play games with them. There's a magic show and stuff like that. So then it seemed like a natural thing for me. I'm very interested in kind of teaching in healthcare. So it was exciting to be able to go to the Notre Dame school, and like we start off our Monday mornings in worship and this real community and fellowship with one another. So it's very exciting, very fun way to start the week.
University of Notre Dame is hard to get into. Were you, and I don't know anything about your GPA and whether it was even a challenge for you to get into or not, but why did, you've already kind of hinted at that, what you like about Notre Dame, but it must be pretty exciting to become a Fighting Irish.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very excited. There's a lot of photos of me as a younger kid in Fighting Irish gear. So I'm glad that I get to go there. The community was definitely a huge aspect, I think, for both George and I. We're excited about that. Obviously, very rigorous academics. And, I mean, looking at, they have this thing called Notre Dame Compass that connects you with alumni since the school's founding, and stuff like that is very exciting, that I could have a community that really, as widespread as Cistercian is, it's not international. In the same way that Notre Dame is. So that sort of expanding of my circle is very exciting.
Yeah. I should point out that all three of these guys are wearing college shirts, but only one of them actually matches. Cash has A&M on, as I mentioned. Carter's wearing Villanova for good reason. And then I like how, you know, George has a UT, University of Texas, and that's, I guess, why he and Cash have to be separated by somebody.
Yeah.
I can't sit those two schools next to each other. But yeah, the Villanova connection's pretty cool. Is that because of the Pope?
Yeah, I was saying that I'm repping Pope Leo XIV today.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right, well, thank you, Carter. George Saliga is our third graduating senior from Cistercian Prep, and as we mentioned, he also is involved in Miracle Melodies, has a very personal connection to that because his brother James has Down syndrome, and also his father has been continues to be a teacher there, a popular one at Cistercian for 29 years. But just before we get to any of that, George, the same question I asked the other two about, you know, your thoughts as you prepare to graduate, move into this next phase of your life.
Yeah, I'm incredibly grateful for all that Cistercian has offered me, especially in the moral formation and all of the priests, the monks available, whether it's something like confession. You can go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. It alternates between adoration and mass in the little school chapel. And the monks are always there ready to have deep conversations with you. And that's part of the reason I chose Notre Dame. I was able to do a program this past summer called SSIP, the Summer Seminary Immersion Program, where I got to get a closer look at the Holy Cross Order itself. And just see how the priests there, kind of like the Cistercian monks, are just so dedicated to morally forming these young men at the university, just as the monks are at Cistercian. And I'm very excited to kind of continue up on that moral formation I've received here up at South Bend. So I'm looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about your brother, because I think you mentioned before we started on the air that sometimes your dad will bring your brother James, who has Down syndrome, to the school, and you know the Down syndrome kids tend to be the most joyful people in the world. But
yeah.
Tell us about him and how that motivated you to be involved in the Miracle Melodies.
He really is. He's a pure conduit of joy. So he is honestly the greatest role model I've seen of what it means to be like a good man, a good person, because he is unrestrained by social fears, expectation. He's himself, and he wants to bring joy with other people. And I've really been able to see that each morning at Miracle Melodies as we lead these kids in praise and worship. I'm at the mic, Carter and Cash do some guitars and Cash does some singing too. And it's beautiful. We do this one song at the end called Yes, Lord. And by the end of it, they're all literally just like shouting in jubilation, like, Yes, Lord, Yes, Lord. And just this acceptance of, I want to follow God. in this pure way that it's so hard to get anywhere else. These kids are just so invigorated for love of God and neighbor. It's really inspirational. Mm-hmm.
And Father, you want to mention about a particular event having to do with this, the Miracle Melodies that Cistercian does every year. Do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, Cistercian, we try to promote community service in various ways, but I think my form has, for various reasons, including, you know, George's brother, had a particular affinity for the special needs community. And so through Rays of Light and Miracle Melodies, but also through this dance that we have once a year, the Lejeune Luau. We used to call it the Down Syndrome Guild dance, the DSG dance, but we rebranded it the Lejeune Luau after Jérôme Lejeune, the French geneticist who actually discovered the chromosomal abnormality behind Down syndrome, and who is Venerable Jérôme Lejeune. Mm. He was a major pro-life advocate, and I think the first president of the Pontifical Council for Life under St. John Paul II. So anyway, we have this dance in honor of Jérôme Lejeune and his work as a scientist, a very intelligent Catholic scientist and pro-life warrior. And at the dance, we have the boys just decorate the lunchroom and the small lecture hall, usually a luau theme. And they provide a space where our guests can dance, but also play games. So tic-tac-toe and pin the tail on the donkey and beanbag toss and these sorts of things. And also a little quiet room for our guests as well. And who are our guests? Well, if it's not obvious by now, it's a guest of anyone who's of a certain age. I think we have from 12 to 21 or 22, who has a developmental disability, autism, Down syndrome, whatever it might be. And they come and they get a chance to play with our guys. And it's probably my favorite social event of the year because we are able, you know, God willing, to provide a very happy evening for them and some respite for their families. But I am also always so happy as a teacher and foremaster when I see the effect of that kind of service upon our own boys and their dates. You know, the simplicity and lack of self-consciousness that can sometimes hamper particularly a teenager, where the boys and their dates just seem to feel free to be themselves and to just be happy about dancing and moving as opposed to always worrying about how they're looking. Like, it seems like a very liberating and joyful event for everybody, both the guests and our hosts.
Yeah. I want to give you guys a chance I wanted to let you guys know the question that's coming so you can have a chance to think about it. But just closing thoughts, maybe each one of you can just give us some thought about, you know, I guess what I see in the Cistercian students is just kind of a formation of a whole person. It just seems like you all, and not that nobody's perfect, nobody has it all together, but it just seems like you're just a solid men who are ready for the next stage of your life. But I just want to give you a chance to maybe brag a little bit about anything else, that the teachers, the curriculum, the faith formation. But anyway, that's coming. So get those thoughts together. And Father, how much longer are you going to be in North Texas, or when are you leaving exactly?
So I'll be away for about a month in the summer, June 12th to maybe July 10 or 12, something like that. I haven't bought the return ticket yet, but then I'll leave at the end of August for a period of, we're saying, 3 to 9 months. And I'll be coming back at different times to report to the abbot, because I'm essentially going as something of a sentinel or scout to discern the concrete possibilities for an American monk to live and work in Budapest, teach at perhaps the local Catholic university. So they have an Erasmus program where different European students can study. And so someone teaching in English might even be possible. But then also the possibilities of opening up something like a discernment house to encourage young men to consider formation of monastic life. So it's very much an investigatory project that I have. We're hoping it succeeds, but we're trying to be humble and go step by step and work with our partners over there in Hungary. But I do hope to come back over the year. And for sure, if this does look like something that would succeed, we would vote upon it as a community before we actually, you know, press the green button and hit go. And that would be a vote that we would have next summer. And if that vote goes forward, if it's the abbot's will, I could go back to Hungary for a much longer period of time.
Mm. What a blessing that you were chosen to be the scout for this mission. That's quite an adventure. You been to Hungary before?
Yeah, for a few days over 10 years ago.
Yeah. All right. I was actually there. I went on a Danube riverboat cruise and went to Budapest for about a day. So pretty exciting. All right. We have been talking about Cistercian college prep with Father John Beyer, who you just heard from, and also three of the graduating seniors whose graduation ceremony will be this weekend. Cash Leckler is headed to Texas A&M. Carter Kenny and George Saliga both going to the University of Notre Dame. You've heard from all of them. So just kind of an open question. Just any closing thoughts or reflections that maybe you'd like to talk about before we close out the interview? I'll start with Cash Leckler. Go ahead, Cash.
Yeah, as you said before, just a big thing about Cistercian is formation and how we're formed throughout our time here. And I'd say that is mainly because of how faith-based like all of our learning is, all of our classes, not just theology, but English and math. All of my teachers are practicing Catholics, or at least most of them, and they add that into their teaching. Like, we're not just learning for the sake of learning. We're learning for a greater purpose or a greater reason. And I think that is a big thing.
All right. Well, blessings for you as you head off to College Station, Texas A&M, and what a blessing that's going to be. So thank you, Cash, for being here.
Thank you.
Carter Kenny, yeah, what would you like to close out with?
I'd just like to plug the school that really well-integrated education has been such a great blessing at Cistercian. Pope Leo, in talking about his name, said he talked about the value of human dignity and how we're going to have to discern that in this new age of AI and technology. And those are the types of questions that are asked in science and math and English and history classes, not only in theology class at Cistercian. That's been very exciting. So we not only learn about some gene editing tool, but learn about the ethics of why that would be a valuable thing to use, or why that could be used for evil. This year in English and theology, as we're coming to a close, we've began reading the Confessions of St. Augustine. So another Augustinian connection, but that has intersected very nicely with theology in kind of an unexpected way, because we're doing world literature in English. So you wouldn't expect like this very Catholic vein to come in. But that's just been another way in which that integration has manifested itself so well to prepare us for a real integrated world.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Carter, and best of luck to you at University of Notre Dame as you head out there for next year. Another Fighting Irish will be George Saliga. We'll close with you, George. Any final thoughts?
Yeah, I think about Cistercian and just in general, this massively important task of forming the conscience that goes beyond forming, like how well you can approach a math problem, or like how to thoroughly read a history textbook, just to be able to have a basic understanding of right and wrong and knowing the right thing to do, such that then you can choose, I want to live a life of virtue. But first you have to be taught what it means to live a life of virtue. And I think Cistercian does an excellent job of that. And I'm so happy to have been a part of it.
Yeah. Well, God bless you. Thank you so much. And Father, last comment? Yeah,
I hope you can see why, bittersweet is not quite the right word. Sad that these guys are going, but how sweet. Like, to listen to them speak so eloquently with such pride and depth about these past 8 years, it sure makes me filled with satisfaction and excitement to see where they go in the future. And really, I mean, these three, they're all the best, you know? But I think any of the 43 could have come here and given you an answer like that.
Yeah. And would you mind closing us with a blessing before we head to our break?
Sure. Almighty Father, we thank you for the gift of a community, most of all the community of the church, in which you form each of us to be members of your Son and to live forever in truth and love. Please bless us here today in this radio show, and bless everyone who hears us and anyone who's connected to Catholic education anywhere in the world. May we all fulfill our vocations and do all that you have in mind. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Thank you very much, Father John Beyer. And also thanks to Cash Leckler, Carter Kenny, and George Saliga, graduating seniors at Cistercian. You can find out more about Cistercian Prep at cistercian.org. And again, a thank you to Brandon Mills, Director of Admissions and Communications, for helping to arrange this interview. We're going to take a break now and come back and talk to Dr. Peter Howard about the Fulton Sheen Institute, his thoughts on the new Pope, and also a pilgrimage that he is leading down to Mexico City to Our Lady Guadalupe Shrine coming up in August. So we'll be back with more good news after this.
The Diocese of Dallas joyfully invites all GRN listeners to the Presbyteral Ordination Mass on Saturday, May 24th at 10 a.m. at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Catholic Church in Plano. Witness this sacred moment as four men are ordained to the priesthood, dedicating their lives to Christ and His Church. All are welcome to attend this beautiful ceremony and support these men on their journey of faith and service. For more information, visit the Dallas Diocese website at dallascatholic.org and click on events.
Guadalupe Radio Network welcomes new sponsor, Saint Candles. Founded by music executive to comfort a friend diagnosed with a life-threatening illness, the Saint Candle Collection has grown to more than 25 candles. Each modern candle is handmade with a prayer coin inside and dedicated to a patron saint. Saint Raphael for healing, Saint Philomena for children, Saint Anthony of Padua, and many more as well. To see what Saint Candles are available, visit saintcandles.com.
All 7th through 12th graders are invited to an unforgettable summer camp weekend. The summer camp To the Heights will take place on Thursday, July 10th through Sunday, July 13th at Sabine Creek Ranch in Royce City. Through fun, adventure, prayer, and team activities, explore what it means to live in community and go to the heights of discipleship in Christ. For more information or to register, visit St. Thomas Aquinas Catholic Church website at stadallas.org and click on events.
It was easy with the pills in the mail.
I thought things would go back to normal.
It's been anything but easy.
Every day, I'm sad.
Guilt and shame are what I know best.
Are you suffering because of a past abortion? You're not alone. We can help. Call 214-544-CARE.
I miss my child.
I miss who I was and regret what I did.
Don't suffer alone. Call 214-544-CARE or go to racheldallas.org.
Encounter Christ in a more personal and transformative way at an upcoming Saturday of Reflection Retreat. The Saturday of Reflection Retreat will take place on Saturday, June 7th from 9 a.m. until noon at the Montserrat Jesuit Retreat House in Lake Dallas. Learn how to practice the Ignatian method of imaginative prayer. Allow St. Ignatius to lead you into the scenes of the gospel using your imagination. For more information or to register, visit montserratretreat.org.
The Guadalupe Radio Network welcomes the Bible Tunes as a new sponsor. Owner Renee Diaz invites you to deepen your faith and knowledge by listening to AI-crafted Bible-based music. His goal is to create gospel-inspired AI-generated music for every book in the Bible in the next 3 years. You can visit thebibletunes.org to listen to music he's created based on various books of the Bible and the gospel readings of the day. That's thebibletunes.org, where AI meets the Bible. This is a good news show. Thank you so much for tuning in. It's May 12th, and my name is Dave Palmer, Joe Loney running the board. And wow, so much excitement in the church right now, especially with the new Holy Father. And I'm very encouraged and have been really on cloud nine, just learning more about him. And he had an address to the media. And so I always want to get people's takes on that. And I heard recently from Dr. Peter Howard, the founder of the Fulton Sheen Institute, and his website, fultonsheen.institute. And he told me about a pilgrimage that he's leading in August down to Guadalupe. It's called the Fulton Sheen Guadalupe Jubilee Immersion Pilgrimage. I said, let's talk about that. But I also want to get your thoughts on the new Holy Father. I haven't talked to Dr. Howard since the election of Pope Leo XIV. But Dr. Peter Howard joins me on the phone right now. And good afternoon. How are you doing, Dr. Howard?
I'm doing great, Dave. Thanks so much for having me on. Very exciting times.
Yeah, when you and I spoke on the phone, it was before the election. And you and I, of course, like everybody else, doing a little prognostication and talking about what do you think and who's it going to be. And now that we know, What are your thoughts, or how did that news hit you on Thursday when you found out it was the first American Pope ever?
Gosh, I was shocked in a lot of things. I mean, one was the timing, too. When we were talking, I said, you know, I thought maybe it would be a gift, you know, to have the 8th be the day that a Pope was chosen, because May 8th is the birthday of Venerable Fulton Sheen. He's at the heart of everything that I do, you know, and for the Americas, the evangelization. And I'm like, but I don't know. This could drag out for days, you know. But I was shocked that, you know, this is on the fourth ballot, which is extremely fast. And then, of course, when they announced him, I'm listening and I'm, you know, I can understand the Latin, but then I'm like, I don't know who that is. and then I was like, that's an American name. Anyway, and then, of course, then the name Leo XIV. And so my mind is when kind of like a movie just goes to like shoots off to five different directions of every kind of connection that would spark. And so I got really excited, especially with the name. And then I had to process the whole American significance of that, because I never thought in my lifetime I would ever see an American Pope.
Yeah, and you would think that, I mean, there aren't that many cardinals, much less American cardinals. And, you know, I was thinking you've got Cardinal Burke and Cardinal Dolan and Cardinal Supich, and there's a few others. And you would think at least we would know who our cardinals are. But I have never heard of him. But of course, in the last few days, everybody's talking about him. And, you know, from, you know, his address to the cardinals and his first mass and, you know, today he addressed the media. Yeah, they got video of him at White Sox Super, you know, World Series games. And, it's amazing what the media has jumped on this. But have you had a chance yet to hear any of his, you know, talks or anything he said, the singing of the Regina Caeli yesterday? Mm-hmm. What are your first impressions of him now that he is the Holy Father?
Well, yeah, those are all great points, too, because I'm watching, too, from the very, not just the announcement and then the name, it's how does he present himself? You know, Pope Francis came out, he was just wearing the white cassock.
Yeah.
And then, which was a, you know, huge departure from the tradition of the papacy. And then you have, you know, Cardinal Prevost, now Leo XIV comes out, and it was like looking at Pope Benedict XVI coming out, or John Paul II, you know, he has the traditional garb on. So, of course, everyone's eyes are on this, including mine, of where everything speaks. The image itself speaks volumes, you know, to what he's doing, how he says, what language he speaks. You know, being an American, he didn't speak any English during that initial address. And I was really impressed in that I didn't take that personally, is that he was immediately, one, the Bishop of Rome, so he's going to speak in Italian, and two, he's coming from, you know, South America. I mean, he's representing all the Americas when you think about it. You know, he's born in Chicago, but he's like, he's American, but he's not like, I don't want to say too American, but like he's been in South America. So he's a bishop that connects the Americas. And so that really piqued my interest, because I'm always thinking about the evangelization of the Americas, Western civilization. And so I began to say, okay, well, how is this liturgy going to be? Sistine Chapel. And, you know, he greets people in English, then he goes into Italian, and he does the, you know, the masses in Latin. There's so many mysteries around him that I think that's what makes it exciting. I think the cardinals had an idea, even though they might say that they didn't really know. But, I mean, there was a fast movement toward him. That there's a lot of mystery around him, from his background to, you know, where is he going to go? I really felt like, and I think you saw it too, I think everybody saw it, he was emotional on the balcony.
Yeah.
You could see him sniffling. No matter what somebody's past is, or wherever all the different things, once somebody is named Pope, you know, or especially Pope, there is something that I think that comes upon the humble soul of everything. This is a whole new reality, and the Holy Spirit's going to do something new, you know. And I take a very positive sense to all of these mysteries, kind of like I bless the Mother, pondering these things in my heart and praying and seeing. The more I meditate, I see connection after connection of things that are just extraordinary, from Leo XIII to May 8th, being the apparition of St. Michael in Gargano, Italy. Leo the 13th giving us the St. Michael prayer, calling out the enemies of the church, a pope of the rosary. Leo the 13th was a pope of, he wrote in 11 encyclicals on the rosary. And Pope Leo the 14th talks about Our Lady of Pompeii, which is Our Lady of the Rosary. None of these things, like Fulton Sheen says, God doesn't do anything in history without the greatest finesse of detail. And I think Leo the 14th is very calculated in what he does. All of these things, I think, are going to be unpacked. We'll see in the coming months and then probably this first year. I say, you know, the first 90 days, 100 days is going to be very revealing.
Yeah, and it was also interesting because the folks who were particularly disenchanted with Pope Francis, and I know there were a lot of them, I've kind of watched some of them, and I think initially when you know Pope Leo XIV was elected, there was very much of a suspicion because you just don't know, and people don't know who he is. And but I see them coming around. You know, Pope Leo XIV is talking about peace and bridge building, and I think that that's going to be one of his legacies. And I know it's early on; we're just within a few days of his election, but I do think that he's going to bring people together, and I think that we really need that. And so I'm very excited. Let me ask you a question about the convergence of the Pope and also your great passion in Fulton Sheen. Do you have any reason to believe that he has a devotion to Fulton Sheen? Is there anything that you've been able to dig up or maybe optimism that you know, cause of canonization may get started up again? Or what are your thoughts on that?
You know, I tried to do some digging, and I have not been able to really find these connections yet. I mean, this is such a mysterious figure. But I do look at other, you could say, clues of things, you know, when you're looking at things from a vertical level, not just horizontal, because I'm looking at what is the significance of an American pope, where he's from, what he represents. You know, we see North America, South America represented, and what's at the heart of North and South America is Mexico City and Our Lady of Guadalupe. And he certainly had a devotion to Our Lady of Guadalupe. You know, he's, you can go online and there's a great article of just last November or December 12th of 2024. He can celebrate a mass with Pope Francis. He was the one incensing the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And, you know, he's a man who resonates a lot with Fulton Sheen because he has a preference to the vulnerable. It's something that he takes seriously, not in some kind of social justice warrior way. It's very genuine. And yet he's an intellectual. So, you know, there's a lot of things that I see that are very hopeful. Like you think about the spark that'll come, that St. Faustina was told, the spark will come from Poland. And you see that for Europe, especially in the devotion to Divine Mercy. But I think now we're seeing a fanning in the flame when the new evangelization is spoken about more to the Americas by St. John Paul the Great than any other place. And here we are with a pope who's from North America, spent most of his time in South America, worked in the Roman Curia. This is a man who's been literally Catholic in all the apostolates and missions that he's had. So I think about that, and I think about Fulton Sheen, you know, the fact that it was on Fulton Sheen's birthday. Fulton Sheen, his other birthday is December 9th, the day he died, and that's the first day that Our Lady appeared in Mexico City. You know, so the conquest of the Americas began on December 9th, and that's the day that Sheen died. And so, like Sheen says, God doesn't do anything in history without the greatest finesse of detail. What's the connections here? So am I hopeful that there might be a quick turn on the cause for Sheen? I am. I know that's one of the big things that the institute that that I founded is going to be focusing on right now, is to help to set these sparks into flame, and then hopefully Holy Spirit will move him and the Diocese of Peoria. I mean, Rome has never been the problem, really, but hopefully he'll take an interest in this, and we hope to put this on the map through rallies and reigniting the petition that we've had. you know, to draw more attention to it.
Dr. Peter Howard is founder of the Fulton Sheen Institute. They're found online, fultonsheen.institute. If you put a /pilgrimage after that, you'll find out about his August 2nd through 9th Fulton Sheen Guadalupe Jubilee Immersion Pilgrimage, fultonsheen.institute/pilgrimage. Before we get to the pilgrimage in particular, Dr. Peter Howard, do you want to maybe just give a brief synopsis of kind of the mission and purpose of the Institute in the first place?
Sure. Well, the Institute was founded really with the purpose of reintroducing Fulton Sheen to a whole new generation of Catholics. So many have watched him on TV, and they're kind of limited to that. But there's so much that Fulton Sheen was made for the church of our times, even more than his own. There was always a prophetic role that he had in preparing the church really for our times, just like John Paul II was, more kind of like a John the Baptist, you know, conceding to Jesus when John Paul II came onto the scene. But now it's a time, especially here in America, where, you know, the world is going crazy, and there's yet at the same time there's birth pangs of a renaissance, and a renaissance of the faith is a renaissance, I think, even of the priesthood that was started under John Paul II. But for we Americans, there's something very special about the figure of Fulton Sheen, where he represents everything that the new evangelization was meant to be. And the more we discover him, and not just his teaching, but his example, one of the things that we push really hard in our message is the importance of making a daily Eucharistic holy hour. He was very firm about that. He says, we will never conquer evil without that kind of power behind us. And that's what he did for 60 years of his life, from his ordination day to the day he died. And so it's helping people to rediscover things about Sheen, that he really was a man given who had the answers to all of the major problems that we have. Not just spiritually, but even how do we rebuild a nation? You know, we see this moment as a refounding of America, because it was all but consumed by communistic Marxist principles until recently. But there's still not the answer of, like, where, you know, quo vadis America, where are we going? And Sheen really gives us that blueprint. And so the Institute is dedicated to really mapping that out for people. And we do it through retreats. We're doing it through pilgrimages. We're going to be doing it through courses as well. So really excited about that.
And I know we have just a number of days to interest people and encourage them to sign up for this pilgrimage that you're leading. I believe registration is closing this Friday, May 16th. Again, it's the Fulton Sheen Guadalupe Jubilee Immersion Pilgrimage. Boy, that's a mouthful. But in reading about it on your website, it just looks so interesting. And a lot of people don't make the connection between Bishop Fulton Sheen and Our Lady Guadalupe. But you're going with Father Jim Blount from the SALT Order, Society of Our Lady of the Most Holy Trinity. But why don't you take a little bit of time and just kind of explain why this is going to be a great opportunity. Again, it's August 2nd through 9th of this year, and you can register at fultonsheen.institute/pilgrimage. But tell us about this, if you would, Dr. Peter Howard.
Thank you, Dave. Yeah, I'd love to. First and foremost, we only have a few spots left. So if anybody's even remotely thinking about it, please don't wait until it's too late. But you know, here we are. We're in a Jubilee year. And one of the big pillars of the Jubilee year, in addition to going to the Holy Door and the indulgences of this year, is to make a pilgrimage. And I see this Jubilee year very clearly, and especially now with an American Pope and this focus on the Americas and evangelization, as pointing us to Our Lady Guadalupe. And now we're just in the window of a 7-year period, so now 6.5 years until 2031. And that's the 500th anniversary of Our Lady Guadalupe. And Fulton Sheen described the errors of the church every 500 years. And there's a death and then a rebirth. Well, that 500 years, if you look at the time of redemption, is going to be 2,000 years. And now we have the 500th anniversary since 1531 coming up of Our Lady Guadalupe and the conquest of the Americas. I'm so excited. I see everything converging on Our Lady Guadalupe right now. And I think the election of this new pope and on the Fulton Sheen's birthday, I don't think that that's by accident. especially because they're two Americans who are, you know, who are dedicated to the salvation of souls. I mean, that was what consumed Fulton Sheen. And that's what we focused on in this pilgrimage. It's not just visiting the sites, which we will, it's immersing ourselves. Every morning we have a spiritual conference that really gets us tuned in, pumped up, about what, how this fits into the greater picture of what's going on in salvation history today, the battle between good and evil. We look at the example of Fulton Sheen. We're inspired by that and his teaching. We take a daily holy hour every day, so we're practicing what we're preaching. And it's meant to be something that by the time you leave, it's not like, oh, now I want to go back and revisit it. It's, you've been so immersed, you've been so informed, and you spent time in prayer that now you could take all of that and really see yourself almost like commissioned to jump into the new evangelization that has just been supercharged by an American pope. It's just a matter of time when Sheen, I think, is going to be beatified. I'm hoping if it's not this year, it'll be during the 250th anniversary of our nation next year. If it's not this year, the most fitting year is next year. So it's got to be one or the other. And this pilgrimage, I think, is like the spark that's going to launch us to 2031. No matter what's going on, it's going to give us a message and a vision so full of hope that it's going to be unlike any other pilgrimage that you've ever been on.
Yeah. Is there, other than prayer, of course, which is the most important thing, is there anything that our listeners can do to try to, I guess, I don't know what the word is, to move along this effort for his canonization? Is there anything what can they do? Of course, they can support your work. They can go on this pilgrimage. What else?
Well, one thing they can do is they can bombard the Diocese of Peoria with letters and phone calls saying, why do we not have Fulton Sheen? Why is the Mass not rescheduled? Because that's kind of what the issue is. Many don't understand that. There's never been an obstacle from Rome's standpoint, and that obstacle was introduced by just a few, you know, bishops in our country. And there's no secret they admitted that. So, but the Diocese of Peoria is kind of putting obstacles or excuses saying, well, we want to wait for this and wait for this. But what are we waiting for when, you know, this is the most important time, moment in our country's history and the Catholic Church in the United States. And here we are, you know, with the Americas. We need to let them know personally that we are waiting for this. We need not just the ceremony. We need blessed Fulton Sheen, because when the world rediscovers him, we're talking a billion people plus. Even if 1% of those were on fire for Sheen, which is what happens with much more than 1% when people do that, imagine what the new evangelization is going to look like for our country, the Americas, and he's known all around the world. So when they need to hear that, not just from us, which they're going to, but they really need to contact them saying, we need this. There's nothing holding it up. Rome's not the problem. Holy Father is certainly not an obstacle to this. So, you know, it's action. Like Fulton Sheen, you always talk about Catholic action. That's what we Catholics need to do.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Peter Howard, thank you so much. I appreciate your commentary on the Pope and also Our Lady Guadalupe, Fulton Sheen, and the effort that you and others are doing to encourage and pray for the eventual canonization of this amazing bishop, archbishop, and one day saint, we pray. Just encourage everybody to visit fultonsheen.institute/pilgrimage. You'll find out more about the Fulton Sheen Guadalupe Jubilee Immersion Pilgrimage with Dr. Peter Howard and also Father Jim Blount. We didn't have a chance to talk too much about Father Blount, but I think a lot of people are familiar with him and his work within the SALT Order. The pilgrimage will be August 2nd through 9th, but registration does close this Friday, May 16th, and Peter said that there's only a couple of slots left, so race to the website and get signed up. Hey, great talking to you. Let's do it again sometime, and always good to catch up with you, Dr. Peter Howard. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. Yeah, anytime at all. It's always a pleasure.
All right. God bless you. Thanks so much to Dr. Peter Howard, also to the Cistercian students, Father John Beyer. I'm still shocked that Father John Beyer is going to be leaving us, but what an exciting, you know, news that is, that they are working with the country of Hungary. And I kind of hinted at this, but if you knew the history of the Cistercians in Irving, you'll know that the original Cistercians were all from Hungary, and they all escaped communism, where there's a Fulton Sheen connection right there. And so I'll try to get Father John Beyer back in to do an interview about this exciting news within the Cistercian community. And just a reminder, a couple of things. This Friday, I'm back to the Father. We are going to be talking about the effects of the Eucharist. I've really enjoyed this. We're doing a deep dive in the Summa about St. Thomas Aquinas' teaching on the Eucharist. We've been doing this for a number of weeks now. And this is going to be question 79 of Tertia Pars of the Summa, where St. Thomas Aquinas really does a deep dive in the Eucharist. It's been a lot of fun, and I appreciate your participation in this. And then tomorrow morning at 6:42, I'll be on Morning Joy talking about the Augustinian connection of our Holy Father, Pope Leo XIV, and you know who St. Augustine was and how that might influence his papacy. So that is going to do it. Thank you again for viewing, and God willing, we'll have another good news show coming up next week at the same time here on 9:10 a.m., also 11:40 a.m. God bless you. Have a great rest of your day.
Thanks for joining us for the Good News Show here on KATH 910 AM on the Guadalupe Radio Network. Please join us next week at the same time for the next Good News Show.